For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service of May the 25th, 1996, for the Memorial Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Noel is the speaker for the afternoon.
I'm going to talk about something very basic. I'm going to present it to you in a way that you perhaps have not heard it before. I want you to be open and listen to the way of what I have to say. I'm going to talk to you about the spoken word, the word that comes out of your mouth. The effects it has. We're going to speak about the spoken word. The spoken word has got the power of life and death. Let's look in Proverbs 18:21. The spoken word has great power. It says here in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Who's ever heard of death being in the tongue? When I was a small boy living on a cotton farm in Alabama, we had a gentleman who lived not very far away, who was sort of a mystic person to me. His name was Harry, and he was the hoodoo. And Harry made his living by answering questions for people. And one day he pointed a box, a cigar box, at this girl. And he said, "I pronounce death on you." And he shook the box. And the girl died. She died, folks. Later, when I graduated from medical school in 1956, I'd done my internship, and I went home to my hometown, and there was one of my friends who had been a year and a half or 2 years ahead of me in medical school. He was practicing there, and we were thinking about going and practice together. And he said, "I have this strange case at the hospital. I wish you'd go look at it and tell me what you think." And I went down, I knew the people. And I sat down and I talked to them about their daughter who was 8 months pregnant and was lying in the bed all curled up in a little ball and she was babbling incoherently. And I asked them what happened and they said the hoodoo had put a curse on her. Now my friend thought that was a bunch of gibberish. I knew that. And so I said, "Can't you go and hire him to take it off?" Being a carnal Christian, I knew from my past experience. They said he wants too much money. And she died the next day. We posted her. We did all the medical things that you're supposed to do. We sent up tissues off for toxicology. We did everything. She died, folks, and they said the cause of death was indeterminate. The power, the tongue, has the power of death. It also has the power of life. Now let's compare that with Matthew 12, 36. Starting with 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. I guess we should have started at 34, for it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and a good man bringeth forth good treasure," brings forth good things, "and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, made righteous, or by your words you will be condemned." A spoken word, but apparently, is very important to Jesus. For here we have the rhema word of God, something Jesus said. And he said, out of your mouth, the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if you're a good man, good things will come out. And if you're an evil person, evil things will come out. Now you can compare that to Luke 6:45. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Or you can, let's go to Matthew 15:18. Matthew 15:18 says, do you not understand that whatever goes enters the mouth, goes in the stomach, and out the drop? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Now, is it any wonder in James 1:19, James says, be very careful about what you say. 1:19 says, therefore, beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be careful when you get mad, and be careful before you talk. Because out of your mouth, you're going to be judged by those words. Now, James 3:8. He says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Let's look at James 3:9-10 now. He says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curses? My brother, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and grapes? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt and fresh water. But what's he saying there? He's saying in nature, a good spring yields good water, and a good vine yields good fruit. Out of your mouth can come evil, can come... You can stand and you can praise God. God speaks of abominable prayers. God speaks of abominable actions. But nowhere in the Bible can I find where he says an abominable praise. I've never found that in the Bible. But out of that mouth, you can praise God, and then you can turn and curse. Let evil come out, evil words come out. He said, that shouldn't be. But it is. But it is. That's what people will do. And so you need to realize that you need to be slow to speak. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say about yourself and about your children and your family, your friends. Christians should not have motor mouth. They should measure their words carefully, because in them is the power of life and death. James 4:10 says, my brothers, 4:11, I'm sorry. Do not speak evil of one another, brother. My secretary made another mistake on that. He made a lot of mistakes on that. Talk to her. Praise your Lord. 4:11, so do not speak evil of one another, brother. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you be judge of the law and not a doer of the law, for the law is a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Don't speak evil of your brother. I can show you another place where it says that you shouldn't speak anything that does not edify and bear grace to the hearer. That's Ephesians 4:29. Just let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth except that which bears necessary edification. And necessary for edification, that's the building up. And bears grace to the hearer. Now, that's the way you're supposed to talk. You're not supposed to say evil about anyone. You don't speak evil of the rulers of your nation. Paul stood before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest said, strike him on the left. And he said, the Lord will strike you, you whitewashed wall. I dare you ought to be struck contrary to law when you stand to judge me of the law. One of them said, You rebuke God's high priest? Also, I didn't know he was the high priest. I'm sorry. Because the law says don't speak evil of the leader of the people. Chief, I tell you this. You should start all of your prayers praying for those in authority over you. You should pray. You know, one of the few times that I've ever got up in church and spoke to a speaker was a man who came to our church, and he began to deride our president, President Prince. And he talked about what an evil person he was, and how he couldn't pray for him. And he had to pray for, he prayed for the office of the president. He didn't pray for the people. And I just got up in the middle of it and said, sir, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we should pray for people and not offices. And it says that we should not speak evil of the leader of our nation. I said, I cannot stand here and have you talk like that to my people, to the people of this church, and give them a false teaching. Well, what you're teaching is not biblical. That ended that service, I'll say that. They brought the praise team right quick. And pastor got a little upset with me. But people, don't speak evil of presence. The Bible says in Proverbs, don't speak evil of the king in your heart. Don't think evil of the king in your heart. Now, that's been very hard for me. I found, though, that if I pray earnestly for his salvation and ask God to bless him and acknowledge that the Bible says that all those who have authority over you have been raised up by the Lord. The Lord says that all authority emanates from my throne, and I raise up and I put down. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. I don't know if y'all know how tough Nebuchadnezzar was. And he talked about his servants, the Assyrians, who skinned people alive and stuck them on stakes and stuck them up and did all kind of horrible things to them. Ruthless people. He said, they're my servants. My instruments. Don't speak evil of your elected officials. Pray they'll come to salvation. Speak good. Speak good. You may not have to agree with them. And you may write your representative and say, I don't agree with that, and don't you vote for it. And you may write him and say, I don't agree with you, and I wish you'd change your views. But don't speak evil of him. Call him bad names. God forgive me. I confess that I have been guilty of that in the past. And I've asked God to give me a spirit of repentance that I might turn from it. Because people, praise God, the only salvation that God will raise up a righteous government in this nation. And we need to pray earnestly that God will raise up righteous leaders and pray for the Supreme Court that they'll come to salvation and know the truth. And pray that our representatives, our state representatives, and all those people who are in civil authority over us will come to salvation. And as those prayers go out, they know that. Did you know that when you pray for somebody, it has force in the world? And you pray according to the Bible? Let's look at it. Let's look at Timothy. This wasn't in my notes, but let's look at 1 Timothy and see what God says about it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is a good and acceptable thing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now that is an injunction of Scripture, that is God's Word, and when you speak it forth in earnestness and get on your knees and pray it out, that's the rhema Word of God going out of your mouth. God can you. He says, command you me concerning the things of my hands, in Isaiah, the works of my hands. And when that united force of the believing Christians go forth, resistance to the enemy crumbles. But it will not happen until believers pray for it to happen. Just remember this. They overcame him. There was a war in heaven. And they overcame him. They, the believers on earth, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The angels can't use the blood of the Lamb. He didn't die for the angels. He died for the seed of Abraham, you, and the word of their testimony. Those are the two things that will put the devil to flight, that will defeat his army. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony as you go forth in prayer in obedience to Scripture. The spoken word has power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Scripture tells us not to curse and speak evil of others. Let's look at Romans 12:14. Let's compare that verse, James 1, James 4:11, with Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 5:44. Men heard part of this today. Starting at verse 43, you heard it said that you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Luke 6:26-27 says the same thing, if you want another reference for it. It says you're supposed to pray for your enemies. Remember that Job, you all remember Job. You know, Job was a good Pentecostal, a righteous man, prayed to God all the time, prayed for his family, offered sacrifices, paid tithes, and he got sick, got covered up with boils, and he got stinking so bad his wife put him out on a garbage heap. He was out there scraping, you know, the pus out with a piece of... And three Pentecostal preachers came by to see him. And they were so amazed when they looked at him, they just sat there and just stunned. He looked so bad. And then they said to him, Joe, come on now, Joe, fess up. What sin have you done? Let this thing come on you. And Job said, I don't know. I ain't sinned. I don't know. And man, they be towing to him for 44 chapters, man. They just, 40 chapters. They towing into poor Job and they accused him and Job defended himself and they accused him and another one came and then a younger preacher just out of seminary got there and he said, boy, I tell you, I hadn't said anything now, but I'm gonna tell you, I learned about it and I know. A bunch of Pentecostals, this is the way Pentecostals were back in the 40s. Anytime anybody got sick, I'll know what they'd done. Well, then God appeared in a whirlwind, and told them that, let's look at that. Let's see what God said to them. Let's look at Job chapter 42. And here's chapter 42:7. And so it was, after God had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Elabite, that somebody, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. Therefore, take... They hadn't spoken, see? They had spoken it out, but they had used wrong words. Therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. And so these people, and you can read their names there, they've since gone to glory. Praise the Lord. They did as the Lord commanded, for God had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Job prayed for his tormentors. He prayed for his tormentors, and God healed him. I just want you to know that these men, that corresponds to this, to Matthew 5:44, when they, the tormentors, they had been persecuting the poor man. Now, you know, the interesting thing about Job was he never knew why he was sick. God never told him. God never told Job. Now, I've heard all kinds of exclamations as to why Job got sick, but I believe the one in the Bible says the devil, God gave the devil permission to afflict him. That's what it says in the Bible, and you can draw all kind of emphasis out of that. I mean, I heard he lacked faith, he was fearful, he was prideful, and a number of other things, but the Bible doesn't really say that. You have to draw that by inference, and you get in trouble when you draw things by inference. You know, like it says, all those people who baptized, you would infer they got wet. But the Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 58:9. And here in Isaiah 58, you'll have what most Bible commentators agree is speaking forth a curse. In Isaiah 58, verse 9, it says, "Then you shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he'll say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the sending out of the finger and speaking wickedness." In other words, it said these things will come if you stop cursing your other people. If you stop looking at them, pointing the finger and sending forth an evil implication. How many of y'all, when you get mad at somebody, you point your finger at them and say something? You're cursing them by biblical standards. There's quite a few Hebrew words that mean curse, and they all mean different things. All a number of different words are used or translated curse, and they all mean different things. And this is one of them. I used to quote the number, but I can't remember the exact number, so I don't want to say it. I got a thesis from a Hebrew student who went through the Bible and translated all the words curse in their context. And what the contextual meaning in the language was, which was very, very interesting. It took me a month to work through it. Praise your Lord Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29 now. I sort of looked at that a few minutes ago, but let's look at it now. Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no evil corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary building up, that it might impart grace to the hearers." You know, people, if we could guard our tongues that well, we'd all be a lot better off. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, rebellion, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you." You need to watch your language. Now, my understanding is that when you speak, or when this word goes out, it carries the power with it. Now, if you are standing in the Holy Ghost, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you, then what you say will come to pass. Now, let's look at John 12. I like this better than the NIV. It says, "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." Now, the NIV says, "What I should say and how I should speak it." The tone or the implication. In other words, Jesus always spoke the rhema word of God, what the Holy Spirit gave him, told him not only what to say, but how to say it. And that word always accomplished what God had for it to do. For it says in Isaiah 55, let's look at Isaiah 55 now. You need to look at these scriptures, people. Don't just listen to me quote them. I can quote all these things by heart. But you need to look at them. It says, educators say that a person will retain about 30 or 40% of what they hear, but about 60 or 70% of what they hear and see, about 90% of what they hear, see, and do. So I want you to do more than hear it. I want you to see it, so you might retain a little more of it. And you make notes about it, you might retain a little bit more than that. Verse 11 says, let's start at verse 10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but shall accomplish that thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which it was sent for. Sometimes the word of God comes down like a nice, soft rain in the summertime, refreshing. Sometimes it comes down like cold snow. How many of y'all ever had the word of God settle over you like the cold snow and you realize that you need to get right, that you need to turn around, go the other way, need to change a little thing, like, you know, you left town, didn't pay that hardware bill, and you didn't leave no forwarding address, and things start going bad for you, and God speaks to you and says, pay the bill. That man, the wicked borrowing don't pay back. Quit being wicked. Pay your bill. And you look at that bill, man, and you know, and it's going to be a sacrifice. That's when the word of God is cold like the snow. But when you're obedient, it'll melt. It'll melt. And it'll water the earth. And it'll, the seed will sprout. It will bring forth a crop to feed you. If you're not obedient, you'll just sit there and freeze you. And you get cold and bitter. Look at Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Jesus Christ spoke this world into existence. The big boom. He just said, exist. And it came into being. Came into being. Because it was the rhema word of God. And so we have that. Now, man's spoken word can either bless you or curse you. Let's look at Genesis 26:27. Genesis 27, you all know the story. Isaac was getting old. His eyesight was poor. He thought he was going to die. Although he didn't die for another 30 years, he thought he was going to die. And so he told his son Esau, go out and kill some game and bring it back and cook it like I like it. And I want my soul can bless you, that my soul might bless you. I told the men this morning what the soul is. The soul is a spiritual thing. It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's up here. Your brain is just a filing compartment. Because when you depart this life, it stays him. But your soul goes to one of two places. And the amount of time you spend on this earth is eternity. That's how much time. Just a flick of an eye. Not very much. Soul is in the blood. That's a controversial statement, but I believe it. It says that Jesus poured out his soul unto death in Isaiah 53:10. He hung on the cross and he poured out his soul unto death. Genesis says the soul, the nephah, is in the blood. We don't want to get into that. That's controversial, and I don't want to get controversial. I'm already talking about something controversial enough. It's different enough. A little different. But he says, my soul will bless you. And so Rebecca said, told her second son, she didn't believe God's prophecy. She'd already gotten the prophecy that the younger was going to rule over the elder. But she thought she would help God out. And she said, go out there and get a kid, and I'll cook it, and then I'll put some, I'll fix you, and you can go and fool him and get the blessing. And you all know the story. He did that. But read what it says here in verse 12. Verse 11 says, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Half my father will feel me, and it shall seem, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring on myself a curse and not a blessing. Father has got the right to curse his children. That's what it says there. He can either bless them or he can curse them. And Jacob was well aware of that. Nevertheless, he was obedient to his mother. He deceived his father, received the blessing. And once the blessing went forth, it couldn't be retracted. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at an evil curse. Let's look at Judges 9. Now here we have the story of Abimelech. Now you all remember the story of Gideon, who's also called Jerubbaal. And after he defeated the Midianites, and they gathered up all the gold and gave it to him, and they made him a judge over the nation, he fell into idolatry. But he had 80 sons, and he had one by a prostitute down in Shechem, named Abimelech. And when Jerubbaal, or Gideon, died, this Abimelech went to some rough men down there and said, "Make me king. I'm your flesh and blood." So he hired some worthless scoundrels and went out and killed all 80 of his brothers, except one got away. And they crowned him king, and 70 sons, not 80, I'm sorry. And so Brother Johan went and stood on the top of Mount Gilead, and he lifted out his voice, and he cried to the people of Shechem and Abimelech. And you can read from verse 7 to about verse 19 is a long verse, but the substance of it, it says, 19 says, "If you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house, then rejoice with Abimelech. Let him rejoice also in you. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Bethi. And let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from Bethi and devour Abimelech." And then on verse 23 said, "God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem." And verse 56, you can read this whole thing. It all came to pass, and I'm not going to try to talk about all of it. But it says, "Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he'd done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil men of Shechem, God returned on their heads and came down on them the curse of Johan, the son of Jerubbaal." Now, Jerubbaal had been wronged. And so he got up and he cursed these men. And it came to pass. Now, Christians don't curse. I've read to you scriptures that said, don't curse, bless. That's what God says to you now. Don't curse, bless. And so Jesus, they said to Jesus in Matthew 5:44, it said, "It has been said to love your friends and to hate your enemies." And he said, "No. I said, love your enemies and pray for them." And so under the New Testament, we are told not to curse. Don't curse. Don't curse your enemies. Don't curse them. Don't curse your children. Don't curse your wife. Don't say bad things. Don't point your finger at your wife and say, when you get angry, be slow to speak and slow to anger. Have this horrible fight. Get out and start praying in tongues. And say, "Oh God, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord Jesus. Bless my wife. Man, don't curse your wife. Why? Be obedient to your husband. Don't uncover their faults behind their back. Don't say bad things about them. Don't curse your children. Don't tell your children they're going to always be dumb. They're going to have asthma like you do. I got asthma, you're going to have it too. If it runs in our family, you're going to catch it." That's come to pass. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy known as a curse. Don't tell your children you're going to be a failure. You failed everything you've ever done. You're going to be a failure. You're dumb. You know, I had a real hard time with this. I'd been in deliverance. I knew that curses were real. I'd seen it when I was small, but I still had a hard time understanding. And I was praying one night, and I'd been reading. I'd been working in the Word. I'd been fasting. Not just trying to understand, asking God for wisdom. And I had a vision. I'm not really sure, but it was so real to me. But I was standing in this, looking into this room, and there was this little kid, and there was his alcoholic father standing over him. The boy had spilled some milk on the floor, and his father was berating him. And I cannot say on the tape the things that he said. But he berated him and told him he was worthless, that he was dumb. He didn't have enough sense to a great deal of profanity. and how he's always going to be dumb and be afraid. And I was standing there, and a light hit that kid. Just like a laser beam hit him. And I asked this person who was standing behind me, that I did not see, that I had acknowledged that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. I said, "What was that?" He said, "That was the demonic force that the devil dispensed to bring that curse to pass." I said, "Oh, show me in Scripture where it says a father can curse his son." And so I read you the verse I got, Genesis 27, and he quoted that verse, and I said, "Oh." And the vision went on over the other types of curses. And I called up Brother William. And Brother William said it was real. I wrote it all down. I sat down and I wrote it all down. The next day I called Brother William. And then I came down to see Glenn and I presented it to Glenn. And I said, "Glenn, what do you think of this?" And Glenn said, "I think it's real." And a week later I got Derek Prince's book and Derek Prince had stolen it all. And Jack Prince confirmed it for me. It was all in his book. But to me, it was so real. And I cannot give it to you with the life and the fullness from which I received it to understand it. But it's real, people. You should watch what you say. I wish that I didn't talk so much. I wish that I wasn't such a motor mouth.
Let's look at Mark 11, 13, 14.
Here we have an example of a curse in the New Testament. And the word curse is used. Mark 11, 13 to 14. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.'" 20:21. "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" 22:4. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. For I surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will come to pass, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, the way I understand that is, Jesus said that when you stand with the gift of faith. Now, the word faith, the noun faith, the verb is believe, and the adverb is faithful. Jesus said, when you stand in faith and you say something, and you know that you're standing in the anointing, and this is a rhema word of God that's going forth out of your mouth, it'll come to pass. That fig tree died because God said to him, the Father said to him, "Curse the tree." And he cursed it, and it died. That was an example for the apostle. He said, you can say to that mountain, another place, he says, you can say to that tree, "You be picked up, cast, and replanted in the sea." And that tree will be picked up, cast, and grow out there in the sea. Let's look at another curse in the New Testament. Let's turn to Galatians. Now, anyone ever tells you that a New Testament believer cannot be cursed, I want you to read this verse to him.
Chapter 3, verse 1.
"Foolish Galatians, who has smitten you with the evil eye that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" That word, bewitched, is the standard Greek word for being smitten with the evil eye, to be cursed. A witchcraft curse had been placed on them to draw them back into legalism. Cursed. And they were spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. There's no other kind in the New Testament. Let's look at James 3 now, 13. We just got through talking about we read verses 10 through 12. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct his works are done, the meekness of wisdom. For if you have bitter envy
and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, now that word could also be translated selfish ambition. And it is translated selfish ambition in 1 Corinthians 3:3, I think it is. But where envy and selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. And you can read on, it says, the wisdom that comes from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. When you let self-seeking come into your speech, and envy of other people, you let that envious words come out of you, your selfish ambition, jealousy come out of you, those are words soul, your soul, soulish, demonic, sensual or soulish, same thing. And so, don't envy other people. Envy is a type of idolatry. It's soulish. And when you put forth words of envy, of selfish ambition, what does James say about that?
Crazy.
He says, come now, you say today or tomorrow we will go and do such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Well, you don't know what will happen tomorrow or what is your life. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good, and does it not to him it is sin. He says, when you stand and you speak that kind of arrogant boasting, that's sin to you. Those are evil words going out. When you send jealousy and envy from other people, of what other people have, those are evil words going out. Now, what happens to evil words that go forth? Let me show you here. Let's look at Psalm 64. Now, here's a prayer for protection by David, Psalm 64. And he's talking about the turmoil of the workers of iniquity. Verse 3. Who sharpen their tongue like a sword. Okay, so they're going to be speaking something. Bend their bow. But their bows to shoot is added by the translators. That's another. Then their arrows, bitter words. Now their arrows are defined as bitter words. These are arrows that they're shooting forth their curses, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they will shoot at him and do not fear. You notice he's a blameless person. Go down to verse 7 now. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. And suddenly they shall be wounded, and he will make them stumble on their own tongue. Now, Proverbs 27 says, a curse causeless cannot light. Well, what does it do? God says you're going to stumble on it yourself. Come back to you. Say in the Word. Now, let's look at Psalm 34. Now, here we have David again. And David is praying for some people who have returned him good for evil. Or evil for good, I'm sorry. David has tried to be good to them, and they have used him evilly. Now, it upsets God for you to return evil for good. Psalm 109 is a vagabond curse, and comes about because you return evil for good. Somebody is good to you, and you turn around and steal from them. Somebody picks you up on the road, you turn around and steal their car. Somebody gives you a job when you need one, you turn around and steal from them. Somebody's good to you, you're jealous of them because they got more than you have, you turn and get out and talk about them. That's returning evil for good. And it upsets God. And here he says to him, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. It made David sorrowful that these people acted that way. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own bosom. David was praying for these people, and his prayers kept coming back to him. Like the curse causes that can't light, the prayers came back to his own bosom. Now, let's see what other, where else that word is used. Look at Jeremiah 32:18, and you'll see that same word there used. In him, Jeremiah's rehearsing to God his Exodus 34, where God revealed his nature. And he said, you show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Isaiah 65:7 says the same thing. And so you see, it comes back, your prayers, when you sit and you pray for your enemy. Your prayers will come back to you and heal you and restore your losses. That's the spoken word. People, it's important. It's important that you watch what you say. It's important that you refrain from speaking evil about anybody, even if it's deserved. And I tell you, it is really important that you don't gloat when you see your enemy reaping what he's sown. It's important that you don't do that. Edom said, when Nebuchadnezzar was tearing down Jerusalem, they said, tear it down, destroy its foundations. That's what Edom said. God says, because you said this, I'm going to curse your land. You know what's in Edom today? It's a howling wasteland. There's nothing there. Just sand pits, salt pits. That's it. That's all that's there. It's a howling wasteland. Nobody lives there. Not even the jackals. Why'd they do that? Because they gloated for the enemy's fall. Don't gloat when your enemy comes on hard times. Redouble your efforts and pray for him. You know, you might bring him to salvation. It might bring him to salvation. And that's pleasing to God. And that's fruit to your account. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that will go through the fire. At the end, all our works are going to be tried by fire. And those that are diamonds and gold and silver will go through the fire. But hay and stubble is going to get burned up. What's hay and stubble? That's all those things you own. All those things you did for yourself. All those good works that you gave so that people would know that you gave it. So you can stand up and say, what a wonderful person I am. Look what I've done. Look how I helped all these folks. The hypocrites used to blow the trumpet in Jerusalem. They would blow the trumpet and they would say, now, Doc Norrell is going to come and give to the poor. And they would blow the trumpet. And here would come the great Pharisee. And he would have a servant carrying a bag of gold. And he would walk along and throw the gold out to the poor. And all these people were scrambling for the coins. Oh, thank you, great master. Jesus said he's got his reward. He got his reward that day. There was no reward in heaven for him for it. That works of hay, straw, and stubble. Get in your prayer closet and pray for your enemies. That's works of gold. That's works of gold. It accounts for something. If they come to salvation, that's a diamond on top of it. God will remember it. And Paul said, there's a crown of glory stored up for me in heaven. Maybe your crown might not be as big as Paul's, but there's a crown there for those people who are obedient. If you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Thus saith the Lord. So today, I could talk on for another hour, but I think I'm going to quit. I brought 3 more pages of notes here. I think it's time to quit. I think it's time to quit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's everybody stand up and praise God. Everybody stand up. They said their brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise you and bless your Lord. Great is your name and greatly to be praised, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus, seal this word now, Lord. Lord, I speak to the enemy and I tell him that he shall not steal this word. This word's fallen on good soil and shall bring forth a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you to seal this building. I ask you to send in the angels, Lord, to gather up all the loose spirits, Lord, and take them off. I ask you to send the angels, Lord, and gather up the spirits as they come out and carry them away, Lord God. You do whatever you want to with them. I don't presume to tell you where to take them. In the name of Jesus. But just get them out of here, Lord. Get them off the property in the name of Jesus. Just thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you for these people, Lord. I ask you to open their hearts, Lord, and give them a receptive heart, Lord. Give them a learning heart, a hearing ear, and a learning heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all, somebody sit down now. How many of y'all have been in a mass deliverance service? Has anybody in here ever not been in a mass deliverance service? I'm going to lead you through a renunciation prayer to break the power of the occult over you, break the power of sexual sin and unforgiveness, break the power of curses, of things that have been, of evil things that have been spoken against you. You see, when the enemy uses one of his professionals to curse you, they will send out an evil spirit to read you and see where your sin is. And then they will design a curse to fit your sin so it'll stick. That's real, people. But we're going to break all these curses in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to read you in a prayer. Say, Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, I do make the following confession. I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity, I do now repent of all these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. By an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I've opened to Satan. And now I ask you, dear Lord, help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the following. Renounce the occult, witchcraft, magic, all seance and clairvoyance, mediums, Ouija boards, and all other occult games. All fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, card laying, pendulum. Renounce all astrology, interest in horoscopes, and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics, all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching, dowsing, levitation, praise you, Lord. Table tipping and body lifting, automatic writing, and drawing and composing. In the name of Jesus. I renounce all soul travel, astral projection, thought projection, and other demonic skills. Renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking, power of positive salesmanship, demonic power to impose my will on others. Renounce all sorcery, dependence on talismans, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit's feet, four leaf clothes, wishbones, potions, and omelets, And I vow I will destroy such as own my person under my control. Now, people, if these things belong to somebody else in your household, you need to get that permission before you destroy them. You can't go destroy things belong to somebody else. Praise you, Lord. I vow I will destroy any idols, the foreign gods, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian ankara, pentagrams, or other abominations on my person, under my control. People, Deuteronomy 7 says that if you bring an abomination such as this into your home, you will become an abomination like it and doomed to destruction like it. Now, you need to get rid of all these things. You need to get rid of all the third world countries have a lot of art, a lot of carvings of you see a lot of these African things, little skinny men holding sticks. These are all gods. These are all gods of the fishes and so forth. You see a lot of it come out of the Orient, of strange-looking things, of dragons and all kind of peculiar-looking stuff. It looks peculiar, you ought to get rid of it. If you don't know what it is, you ought to get rid of it. My brother sent me these beautiful $500 set of bookends that were a couple of dragons, and they made my skin crawl. And I took them out and threw them in the lake. So my wife said, not tell him, because my wife told him the first time she saw him. She said, yeah, threw your bookends in the lake. He said, well, I paid $500 for those. I said, well, they're in the bottom of the lake. He said, why you send them back to me and I could have sold them? I said, the Bible says that you cannot profit from the gold and silver thereon. That you got something that's valuable, that's a valuable Buddha that's made out of gold, and gold, you know, jade with a little diamond in his navel, you know. You can't sell that, brother. God says you can't profit from the gold and silver on it. You take it out and destroy it. Get rid of it. You know, that's not, that piece of jade is not anything. What's important is the demon that lives in it. The demon that has the legal right to go with that. I remember when I had a young lady that was in our church, and her baby, she had a baby, an illegitimate child. And I broke the curse of the legitimacy and talked to her about it. She's bringing the baby to me as a pediatrician. The baby was having these crying spells, and I was praying about it, you know, and he was having night terrors. He was waking up in the middle of the night, and the baby was about 6 months old. And I said, do you have any Mexican sun gods in your house? She said, yeah, I got a calendar on the wall, so get rid of it. So she went down to the public health department where I'm health officer, and she told the two nurses in the WIC program that Dr. Null had told her to get rid of these things because the demons and these things were bothering her. And of course, they got me cornered and said, did you really say that? And I looked at them, I said, do you know the cause of night terrors? Well, we thought she had this. I said, no, she's got night terrors. Now, you go look in the book and see if you can find a cause for night terrors. She's going to get rid of those things, and those demons are going to quit bothering that kid, and you'll see if she'll get healed. And they just looked. Their eyes were about this big. I could see that tongue just wagging. Make a difference to me. I cast out demons in the emergency room anyway. They just hadn't heard, you see. And so, anyway, she got rid of them. The child quit having night terrors. She quit waking up screaming in the middle of the night because the demons in those things quit coming out and terrorizing that child. You've got stuff like that in your house, you need to get rid of it, people. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You've already promised God you're going to do it. Hallelujah. I renounce all literature I have ever read in any of these fields and vow that I will destroy such books in my possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs and statues and jewelry and charts which own my person in my house. That all refers back to that first part about all these foreign idols. Now, Irma's got some real good books back there. There's a Buddha in your house. If you've got any questions, you know, first thing, you just walk through the house and pray in tongues and see what upsets your spirit. But if you've got any questions, read the book back there. Irma's got a very good book on it back there. And it's real, people. Demons hide in those things. Burn your house down if you ain't careful. In the name of Jesus, I break the following. Break all curses, all hexes, all spells, all jinxes, jexes, roots, charms, fetishes placed on me or from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy. 10 generations back, off my family line. I break the curse of idolatry, off my family line. And renounce any oaths I or my ancestors ever made to any false god, idol, false cult, false religion. I renounce any initiation rite, any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or any order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjugation, demonic soul ties, or bondages to my mother and father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity in any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of any disobedience of my ancestors, spouses, or ex-spouses. I break any curse of physical or mental illness off my family line. I break the curse of incest back 50 generations in the name of Jesus on me and my lineal descendants forever in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement. Every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I confess that I've committed sexual sin. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess that I have committed the following. Hence, quietly, you name any sexual sin that you might remember that you haven't previously confessed. Do it quietly under your breath. Just say it, and you can say it very quietly. Everybody keep their head straight ahead and don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. I claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I do accept your forgiveness and cleansing according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I notify you, and I'm closing all these doors, and I'm reclaiming all these areas I previously yielded to you. I close these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual lust, from sexual sin and lust. I bind you now and command you to leave me forever. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but I have resented certain people. I confess this as sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. And here you need to name anybody you got ought against in your heart, anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, just need to forgive them.
I forgive John, Joe, Gene, and Jack, whoever they are.
Why? I do now. Forgive myself.
People, you must forgive yourself. You come under self-condemnation, that can be the key that unlocks your deliverance. You forgive yourself. I was ministering to a lady earlier this morning, and the key to deliverance was being able to forgive herself. It's a thing that kept her under condemnation for years. Same with her father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. You redeemed me with your blood. I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins. I repent of them. I renounce them all. I now come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus, claiming the promise in Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, you know my special need. That thing that binds and torments me. That evil, unclean spirit. I call upon you, Lord Jesus. Deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to call out some spirits. I want everybody to keep both feet on the floor. Don't cross your arms. Don't cross your legs. Now, you all know when you were kids, you were taught that when you crossed your fingers, you didn't really mean it. That's a witchcraft symbol. Crossing the fingers means you don't mean it. Crossing your toes, crossing your legs. And the devil's a legalist. If you cross your legs, he says you don't mean it. So keep both feet on the floor and don't cross your arms and your legs. And I'm going to call out some spirits. And if there's any, you say, come out of me. Don't pick and choose. Say, I ain't got that one. I got that one. I ain't got that one. Because if I speak, if I call it out, it's not there. It ain't going to hurt you. But if it's there, let it come out. And let happens what happened. It generally come out of the breathing passage. If you're afraid you might manifest and embarrass yourself, if you got to choose between your dignity and your demons, my advice is to let your dignity go and get rid of your demons. Because you can get your dignity back and the demons will be gone. But if you hold on to them because you don't want anybody to know about them and you're afraid that you might make a scene, nobody here knows you and nobody cares because they worried about their own demons. Nobody worried about the scene you're going to make. They just hope you get free like they want to get free. And so if you come to that, let your dignity go and get rid of your demons. It happens what happens. Spit them out. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. These children are children of God. They've been accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. They've been accepted in the Beloved. They are not redeemed. They are not rejected children. Rejection, I bind you and I command you to be gone. These are adopted children of God. They're children of the covenant. In the name of Jesus, go. Go. All rejection, all fear. Fear of rejection, go. In the name of Jesus, all fear of rejection, fear of the dark, fear of water, fear of being alone, in the name of Jesus, go. Fear of sin, fear of the devil, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear, all lust, all lust in the name of Jesus, go. All the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go. All greed and lust, go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of poverty go in the name of Jesus. All poverty, I bind the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. All poverty, be gone in Jesus' name. All poverty, in the name of Jesus. All accident prone, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all bondage to fear, bondage to pain, bondage to alcohol, bondage to cigarettes, bondage to food in the name of Jesus. I come against the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. Bondage to food and gluttony in the God of the belly. I speak to the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. The eight-armed God of the belly, I bind him in the name of Jesus. And I command him to be gone in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind all stubbornness and rebellion in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft. Witchcraft is as a sin of rebellion as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry. I bind all stubbornness, all rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind all bitterness, all the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. Be gone, all stubborn self-will, all unteachable spirits in the name of Jesus, be gone, all spirits of deception, be gone, all lying, be gone, all Pharisee spirits, all religious spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of the occult in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of all the Ouija boards in the name of Jesus, all the occult spirits, all the Hindu spirits, Apollyon. I come against the spirit of Apollyon. I come against the spirit of yoga and Kundalini. Kundalini and yoga, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose and be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ, all of you. Move, move, move in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. I come against pride and haughtiness. All haughty spirits, prideful spirits in the name of Jesus. All haughtiness, all spirits of haughtiness and pride in the name of Jesus, be gone. All holy spirits, all prideful spirits, all stiff-necked spirits, all the fiery spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave now. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 every one of you. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Go. I come against all spirits of the martial arts in the name of Jesus. All yoga spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the martial arts. I bind you, all Shishin spirits, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of Taekwondo, in the name of Jesus. All Jiu-Jitsu spirits. All, praise you, Lord Jesus. All martial arts, in the name of Jesus. Go. I come against all meditation spirits. All spirits of Honda of yoga meditation, of transcendental meditation, in the name of Jesus. I break the covenant of transcendental meditation, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse that came from making the offering, in the name of Jesus. And I command those spirits to be gone. Be gone, in the name of Jesus. I speak to all the monster spirits. I say, be gone, in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, go. I speak to all paranoid spirits. The spirit of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus. All insanity spirits, be gone. All suicide spirits. All rage, anger, murder in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rage and anger and murder and suicide and death, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of accusation and self-accusation in the name of Jesus. I bind you, all spirits of accusation in Jesus' name. Self-accusation, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. I speak to the Pharisee religious deceiving spirits now in the name of Jesus. All denominational spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of the dead, all the necromancy spirits, all spirits of necromancy in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 all spirits of mariology, go in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to leave, all denominational spirits. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All church spirits, all holier-than-thou spirits, all Pharisee spirits. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. I speak to the infirmity spirits now. I bind you. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. He bore our infirmities and our sorrows, our sickness and our pain. I speak to all pain. I speak to all infirmity spirits. I speak to all headaches. Be gone. I speak to the spirit of migraine headaches. I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. All tension headaches, all migraine headaches. I speak to blindness. I speak to blind eyes. I say be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to glaucoma. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to blindness in the name of Jesus. Go! Go, I speak to cataracts. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to hay fever and I bind hay fever in the name of Jesus. All congestion and sinus problems. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. All allergies. Go, go, go. All asthma, all hay fever, all emphysema. Go. All pneumonia, all cancer. Cancer of the lungs, cancer of the lips, cancer of the throat. All cancers, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse you to your roots and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Go, all cancer of the stomach ulcers, all hiatal hernias, go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, go, go, go. But Jesus was made a curse for them that he might be delivered from the curse of the law. In the name of Jesus, he bore all the infirmities, all the sorrows, all the sickness, all the pain. By his stripes they've been healed. You got no right to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go, go. I speak to all duodenal spirits. I speak to all pancreatitis, all diabetes. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. In the name of Jesus, all diabetes, go. All nephritis, go. All kidney diseases, go. In the name of Jesus, all infections, all pyelitis, all cystitis, go. I speak to all Crohn's disease, all colitis, all Crohn's disease, all diverticulitis. And I say line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says these people have been healed in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I speak to all vaginitis, all cystitis in the name of Jesus. I speak to chlamydia. I speak to the human papilloma virus. I say, be gone. I speak to the herpes viruses. I say, be gone. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, go, go. We bind you. We bind you, cancer. Cancer of the womb. Endometriosis. I bind you. Menorrhagia in the name of Jesus Christ. Dysmenorrhea, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Urethritis, prostatitis, I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Go, go. All of you, go, go, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, go, go. In Jesus' name. All arthritis, I bind arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. All arthritis, go. All Crohn's disease, all Alzheimer's disease, go, go. All deafness, all tinnitus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All labyrinthitis, I bind you. All middle ear functions, go, go. All diseases of the middle ear, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Anybody got a disease I didn't call out? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand up. Praise you. Fill them, Lord. Fill them to overflowing, Lord Jesus. Touch them, Lord God, with your healing balm of Gilead. You said, is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there's balm in Gilead. Oh, Lord, heal them with your delivering power, Lord God. Fill them with your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them and fill them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, Lord Jesus. We just hold the food up to you now, Lord. Thank you for Tony, Lord, and the kitchen crew, Lord. I ask you to bless those people, Lord God. Bless those who prepared it, and bless those who clean up the pots and pans, Lord. A double blessing on them, Lord Jesus, for the volunteers, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Bless it. Make it nourishment to our bodies, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. All God's folks said, amen.
The Holy Ghost will fill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing and set your heart a dancing too. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. The Holy Ghost will fill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing and set your heart a dancing. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a
the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon. We thank you for the deliverance that you have brought. Lord, we praise your holy name. We thank you that you are truth and that you are faithful and true and faithful and righteous to your word. Lord, that whenever we call upon your name for deliverance, you deliver us if we call upon you in truth. Lord, this afternoon, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.